And of course, you have received update 1004. We just had the celebration, quote unquote, of update 1000. Now it's 1004. And we'll keep going. And a lot is happening. And so the updates are getting longer. My particular copy has about, let me just look at this, 22 pages, maybe more than that. And depends, of course, how your computer is set up. Maybe you have even more pages. No, 26 pages, I'm sorry. 26 pages, so you might even have more. I don't know. But unfortunately, we are not making the news. We are just reporting it, because the current events is, of course, a large portion of the update. But we also have an editorial in this particular update written by Eric Rank, titled Calculating Profit. And you might have noticed that the Q&A in this update, which goes into 1 Timothy 4 and verse 8 about bodily exercise profits a little, go hand in hand. It goes hand in hand with the editorial. In fact, both kind of addressing the same subject from a different angle, because both ultimately talk about the fact that the priority is going to be right and that our first priority must be of a spiritual nature. And both the editorial, talking about wealth and treasures, as well as the Q&A, talking about bodily exercise in comparison to godliness, of course, go into the same subject. Now, when we turn to the work section, we have a new standing watch program out and also a German version about the pandemic of the unvaccinated. And as so often is the case, just looking at the views in the German version and then comparing it to the views of the English version, and the difference is tremendous, again, as usual. Again and again, I mean, the same program, same topic, but it looks like the German audience is awake. The American audience, well, not our audience, obviously, they are fine. But insofar as the overall spectrum is concerned, they are sound asleep. And I will talk about the sound sleepiness, if that's even a word, in a few minutes. We also have posted the sermon and the sermonette, both from the English and the German versions. Now, this brings me to the current events. And I don't want to take too much time today to go into what we have reported in the update, because I would assume that you all have read it, and so you are familiar with it. I'd just like to hit a few highlights in light of what happened subsequent to the update when we published it. But we say in our current events introduction that we begin reporting on the ongoing desire, especially by Germany and France, to create a sovereign United States of Europe, which we say will in turn be anything but democratic. And then we speak on the 20th anniversary of the euro and report on Austria's frightening dictatorship, which is being compared with developments prior to World War II, as well as frightening developments in Germany and France. In this context, please note our new standing watch program, which I just mentioned. We also speak on the danger of the Ethiopian war. Now, why would we bring that up? Well, because there is still the possibility, as the Bible indicates, that a controversy will occur between Ethiopia and Europe. And we also talk about China's hoarding of the world's grain, which the articles point out means higher prices and maybe even a shortage of grain in the world. We then talk about the dangers TikTok poses for our children. Now, this is not to say that every video which is posted there is bad. I mean, I understand most are kind of funny, but there is a danger involved. And so we are talking about this so that our children are not being indoctrinated by this Chinese-sponsored vehicle, believing in the wrong things. And we also talk about the insanity in Switzerland. If you want to know what the insanity in Switzerland is, you've got to read the article. And then we talk about an area where Putin is right, even though in many cases he is wrong, because we also address a situation between Putin and Biden. This phone call, which accomplished next to nothing, and the ongoing threats Russia is launching against Europe, NATO, especially focusing on Ukraine, Sweden, Finland, and now the latest situation regarding Kazakhstan, which I will talk about in a moment. And then we talk about the leading cause of death. Now, it's not COVID. Many people would like to tell you that. It's not even COVID by a long shot. Now, the leading cause of death is what? Now, if you have read the Q&A, you know, and the current events. If you don't, if you haven't read it, do an educated guess. It's abortion. Abortion is the leading cause of death, of murder, to be precise. We also talk about Dr. Fauci's quote-unquote clarification of his former lies. If you haven't heard that yet, read the article, and we'll talk about that in a moment too. And then the United States of America's division as never before in the recent past. And the last 2 years of America's terrible dictatorship. If you haven't noticed a terrible dictatorship happening in this country, I don't know where you are living. And then, of course, we are talking about deeply disturbing developments pertaining to governmental restrictions and mandates to the coronavirus pandemic in Canada, United States. And then we address, of course, the historic, it's called historic, wildfires in Colorado. We are speaking on UFO sightings. And then Israel's possible intention to attack Iran, with or without Biden's support, and the ongoing desire to build a third temple. And then there is some discussion as to where exactly that might be built. And finally, the ongoing friction between American Jews and the state of Israel, which again is important to understand, because in the book of Zechariah, we find that ultimately it will be Judah, amongst others, fighting against Jerusalem. So you might be asking yourself the question, how is that to be accomplished? Now, when it comes to some of the articles we published in the current events, I'd like to just point out that when it comes to Austria, this new year, 2022, not 2020, as Mr. Biden recently said, 2022, this year we'll also see Austria makes the vaccine mandatory for all citizens, beginning in February. And if you're not vaccinated, you will be fined and potentially even imprisoned. Now, let me just point this out. You're going to get a document from the government saying that you have to be vaccinated. If you don't, a certain fine is going to be listed. You have 3 months or so to comply. If you don't, then you get another document with a higher fine, and on it will go. And the fines apparently are going to be very steep. Now that's Austria, as I will show you in a moment. Austria is not alone. Others will follow Austria's dictatorial, autocratic, Nazi-like example. And you might be surprised who all is going to be included in that category. And going through the update, as I said, there are some developments going on in Kazakhstan, and I want to just take the opportunity right now before I go into what I really want to talk about today. I want to talk about the current situation in Kazakhstan. Now, of course, Kazakhstan, you might never have heard about it, or maybe haven't really focused on it too much, but an article in Deutsche Welle pointed out that Russia deployed 2,500 troops in a move that was widely condemned by Western nations. And then it says the importance of Kazakhstan for Russia can hardly be overstated. There has been speculation in both countries, Russia and Kazakhstan, for years about whether Russia might annex these territories in a manner similar to Ukraine's Crimean Peninsula. In any case, the unrest in Kazakhstan is a nightmare for Putin. The Guardian added that some heard eerie echoes of the so-called Prague Spring of 1968. You might vaguely remember that when Russia intervened and went into Prague and took over that country. And this article by The Guardian says that brings back that development and also the Soviet crushing of the Hungarian Revolution in 1956. Now, of course, they say there was kind of a treaty between Russia and Kazakhstan and other former Soviet countries. But ultimately, they say the decision to intervene was almost certainly taken in Moscow. And so Putin wants to reestablish the Soviet Union. He made that very clear. And of course, he wants to be the leader of it. And it's very well possible that that is going to happen, sometimes with agreements, treaties, sometimes with violence and violent intervention. But ultimately, you will have another Soviet Union, and you will have a Soviet Union in collaboration with China. China, by the way, is looked upon as one of the most trusted allies of Russia. And of course, they will work together with other Far Eastern nations. And there you have the 200 million army, as it's mentioned in the book of Revelation, the kings of the East. And then there are other developments. Next week, there's going to be some meeting between Biden's people and Putin's people. And of course, Sweden is very concerned about it, already saying that, you know, they are not going to listen to any demands by Russia when it comes to NATO. There is an article which was published this week saying that Biden is apparently willing to give up certain, or make certain concessions, I should say, when it comes to Russia and Russia's demands. Now, that was being denied this morning, so we'll see how that all is going to play out. But what I'd like to talk about today, and I think it's high time that I do, is a worldwide situation when it comes to the coronavirus restrictions. There's so much I could talk about, actually, it's mind-boggling. What is also mind-boggling to me is the fact that the propaganda machine is being used in such a way that many people, most people, are believing it, including some in the church believing it. Some even have left us over issues like this, saying that we have become political because we are reporting on these issues. That's a dangerous thing to believe, a dangerous thing to say, because nothing could be further from the truth. But we have a duty to report. Now, have you been listening recently to comments which were made by some United States Supreme Court judges when it comes to certain arguments, oral arguments? And of course, that had to do with two cases which are now pending in front of the United States Supreme Court regarding vaccination mandates. Now, my trust, my confidence in the legal system has never been that good, as you all know. And that applies to the legal systems all over the world. I've practiced law in Germany with great disappointment when I saw how things were being manufactured and decided. I've practiced law in the United States, and I've been even a witness of several cases, numerous cases, which were decided against the church, totally incorrectly decided. So as I said, my confidence in the justice system has never been that good. But now it has received another blow, if you please. It has to do with certain comments made by at least three liberal United States Supreme Court judges during oral arguments. One, of course, is Sonia Sotomayor, or Sotomayor, whatever the name is, however it's being pronounced. She has been appointed by Obama. And it says here in an article that she has now come under withering criticism Friday after she falsely suggested in oral argument that upwards of 100,000 children in the United States are hospitalized from COVID-19, many of them on ventilators. That is a blatant, and I mean blatant, misrepresentation. And one has to ask the question, How can a United States Supreme Court judge make such a blatant misrepresentation? The truth is, it's about 3,700, according to the Washington Post article this week, of children. And of course, most of those cases are very mild. That's the difference in my mind between 3,700 and 100,000. That was the first lie. Here comes her second lie. She also claimed that vaccinated people cannot transmit the coronavirus. Absolutely false. Absolutely false. It goes on. Laura Ingraham gave an interesting broadcast on Friday evening where she said this. And of course, she's also an attorney. She also actually clerked for the United States Supreme Court at one time. She said, "It's hard to believe someone so misinformed sits on the court." She said, "Even Anthony Fauci admits that most kids are hospitalized with COVID and not because of COVID." And of course, later she highlighted another judge, Stephen Breyer, or Breyer. He was appointed by Clinton. Listen to what he said. "If we delay one day making the decision," of course, he wants to uphold the vaccination mandates. "If we delay one day, then 750,000 more people will have COVID in one day, which otherwise they wouldn't have." I mean, what an absolutely blatant, stupid comment by one of the highest judges in the country. Ingraham responded to this, "Who said you need basic logic and math skills to be a Supreme Court justice?" Good question. There was a third one, Kagan. Now, she was appointed by Obama again. She said, "This mandatory policy is the only thing that can end this pandemic." Absolute, complete, total misrepresentation. So here you got it. Three liberal judges on the United States Supreme Court having become victim, if they have become victim, of absolute, completely wrong propaganda. Now maybe, I hope not, for their sakes, they know better and just made those arguments because it is to be understood that they will vote for keeping the mandatory vaccinations in place, whereas the feeling is that the conservative judges will probably vote against it. If, as somebody said, they will vote at all, they may just delay it again for another 2 years. That's the legal system in our country becoming completely and totally political. Nothing to do, it seems, with the Constitution. Nothing to do, it seems, with the law. All political. Let's jump to Australia for a moment. Now, you probably heard about the number one tennis player who is right now being kept in, I might say, isolation. He said he is banished to a filthy hotel full of fleas and maggots to isolate. The background was that he had received permission, he is not vaccinated, to come to the United to come to Australia to play tennis over there. As I said, he is the number one tennis player in the world. He would fight for his 21st Grand Slam title. So they gave him permission to enter, and then when he entered, they said, "Oh, we made a mistake, and you got to leave." And so then they put him into isolation, and so he is waiting for a court hearing on Monday. It says here the 33-year-old was granted a medical exemption even. That's the basis on which he got the visa. A medical exemption to compete in the tournament, unvaccinated, on the grounds that he had recently recovered from COVID. So he had had it. He recovered. So he has natural immunity. But under Australian law, that's not sufficient. You got to be vaccinated in order to enter the country. Now, Fox News commentator Will Kane reported on that, and then he said, "This is complete, utter lunacy on Australians' part. It is authoritarian insanity, which has been going on for the last 2 years. So much for Australia. The interesting thing to me is it's being run by a left-wing guy, maybe a socialist, I don't know whether you can call him such. But the same is true for other countries like France, being run by a left-wing guy, Macron, by Canada, being run by a left-wing guy, Trudeau. And an article was published by the Los Angeles Times on January 7, saying this. In one European country after another, public health restrictions are steadily tightening. Italy declared a vaccination mandate for those aged 50 and over. The biggest party in Germany's governing coalition, of course run again by a left-wing guy, Scholz, the biggest party in Germany's governing coalition says it will decide by the end of March whether to try to push through a universal vaccination mandate. Before I go on with that, I'd like to just read to you from an article which I found this morning. German Health Minister Karl Lauterbach has insisted vaccine mandates are the only way out of the pandemic. Lauterbach said gaining immunity through infection was a dirty vaccination and not the solution. Another blatant lie. That's why I'm bringing this out to you. You're hearing lie after lie after lie. And unless you're really alert, some people may begin to believe it. It goes on to say, mandatory vaccination is also important for the future variants that may still develop, he said. Omicron infection does not necessarily make one immune to the next viral variant. Lauterbach also warned of the possibility that a new, more dangerous variant could start spreading. What is not being considered at all is a possibility, and I'm just saying a possibility, I don't know, but neither these guys know, that those variants occur because of vaccinations. Because you think about it, you know, you're being vaccinated against a certain coronavirus situation, and then of course in the virus kind of starts to go through modifications. Now, going back to the previous article by the Los Angeles Times, it says, Austria plans to enhance enforcement of existing measures banning the unvaccinated from many public venues. British Prime Minister Boris Johnson, he says he wants to keep vaccinations voluntary, but on Thursday blasted what he called mumbo jumbo, spread on social media by anti-vaccine campaigners. He said, don't listen to this mumbo jumbo. The science has proven that the vaccinations are most certainly safe, and if they tell you something different, don't listen to it. That's Boris Johnson, the proverbial chameleon. Goes on to say, in Germany, many of those who have chosen to remain unvaccinated report feeling socially ostracized. As a result, many Germans, mindful of their history under communist and Nazi rule, are also squeamish about a prospective national registry of the vaccinated, saying that runs counter to the country's cherished data privacy laws. Also, yesterday, Germany decided foolishly, these are my words, the following, according to Deutsche Welle. Access to restaurants will be limited to people who are fully vaccinated or considered recovered, who can additionally provide evidence of either a booster shot or a current negative COVID-19 test. So the point is this. Those who are not vaccinated, they can't even go to a restaurant. But even those who are vaccinated, they still have to either have a third booster shot or they have to show a current test. A current test means a test from the same day. Then you can enter a restaurant. The article goes on to say, the existing rule that private gatherings of vaccinated and recovered persons with a maximum of 10 persons are allowed will remain in place. But if you have one unvaccinated person there, you can only have a gathering of two households. Now, to top the irony, if you can call it such, it was now revealed by Focus this morning that Austria's Chancellor Karl Nehammer was tested positive with corona. He is in quarantine, even though he had been fully vaccinated with three shots, two and a booster shot, tested positive. Now, you explain that. Now, of course, if names mean anything, I don't know whether they do in this case. His name is Nehammer. Ne, a short form for nine or no. And hammer, meaning is hammer. So he is the non-hammer. He is not the hammer. I mean, the Bible talks about Babylon, talks about the Babylonian revival, and it calls Babylon the hammer, right? So that's not applicable then to Mr. Nehammer, if names mean anything. Of course, the predecessor was Sebastian Kurz. As you know, he had to step down because of the scandal he is involved in. And of course, Kurz, that name means short. So he was only there for a short time. Whether he's going to come back will have to be seen, but at this point, he's not there anymore, has no influence, has really nothing to say when it comes to Austria. Now, there are mass protests. There are mass protests in Germany. They say 350,000 were protesting the other day. There are today mass protests in France. And of course, they have been in England. They have been in Austria for sure. And the question is whether they will do anything or whether the governments will react even more violently towards these protests and trying to come down hard on those people who have their concerns about vaccinations. Now, Mr. Macron, I pointed this out in the Standing Watch program, made some very vulgar comments about those who are not vaccinated. Today he again said, no, I totally stand up by my comments, and repeated actually pretty much what he had said earlier. Of course, we have to understand one thing. I mean, he is fighting for re-election. And so he has a sense that most people in France probably would apply and approve and agree with what he was saying. The same is true with Mr. Trudeau in Canada. He is looking for re-election. And so he made some ridiculous statements about the unvaccinated. And right now he had a fit too again when some people chartered a private plane. And then on the plane they had a kind of a party. And of course he just made all kinds of bad statements about these people. So this is what's happening in the world insofar as this is concerned. But that brings me now to another little issue here, which I believe we should also take note of. And that is January 6th, the anniversary of January 6th, as you probably might have seen this quote-unquote memorial service, if you can call it such. And all the Democrats were there. Of course, nobody from the Republicans was there except for Mrs. Cheney and her father, Dick Cheney, and one other rhino. And it's interesting how the Democrats suddenly embraced Mr. Cheney as being there and were happy about him. We were going to have an article in the next update about Cheney's absolutely controversial role, and he is looked upon as one of the worst, if not the worst, vice president in the history of the United States of America, and there are reasons for that. But anyhow, he was there now as well, and so was Mrs. Cheney. And of course, Mr. Biden gave a very divisive speech about this whole situation, and of course, regarding Mr. Trump. And Mr. Trump came right back and blasted Biden. And I felt that was rather interesting, because recently Mr. Biden made a comment congratulating or thanking Mr. Trump for the vaccines which he had developed speedily. And Mr. Trump came back saying, well, now he said some positive statements about me, so it's going to be hard for me to say anything bad about him. He also angered a lot of his supporters, Trump that is, by suggesting everybody should get vaccinated. And he probably lost a lot of votes in the process, listening to controversial figures like Bill O'Reilly giving him bad advice. and we'll have to see how that all is going to turn out. But when it comes now to the Biden-Trump situation, I mean, the peace treaty is over. Now they become both extremely hostile towards each other as they have been before, and so the division is continuing. It's not going to get any better. Of course, we never expected it to get any better. It's getting worse and worse and worse. As I said earlier, the country is divided as never before in the history of the United States since the Civil War. And so when you look at this sham committee they have put together to develop some kind of a concept as to what happened in January 1 year ago, a committee consisting strictly of Democrats and two rhinos, is definitely a joke if you really think about it. And whatever the outcome is going to be, it's not going to convince anyone who has been of a different opinion before. It will only increase the division in the country. And all of these things are leading towards attempts in the United States to make a dictatorship out of this country, perhaps leading to civil war. I mean, we've said that before, it's a possibility. But we also see the dictatorship development around the world. I mentioned Australia, I mentioned Canada, I mentioned France, Austria. I could add New Zealand. Of course, you could also add countries like Thailand, you know, and other countries with ridiculous restrictions. But you see, why is this happening? Who's behind it? You know, there is a force out there, most people don't believe in him, it's Satan the devil. And Satan's attempt is and desire is to destroy mankind and to enslave mankind. And so he has the power over this world. It says he is the ruler of this world. He has the power to give authority to whoever he wants. And Christ didn't deny that. Satan still has his throne here on earth. And he is using as his tools those whom he can use the best to bring about his plan. And that's what we need to understand. What we are seeing today is in fulfillment of Satan's plan. Now, of course, God allows it for his purpose. But it's in fulfillment of Satan's plan to bring about a situation where when finally the beast power rises in Europe, people will follow that power and that leader. And it's not just Europeans. It says the whole world will follow him, adore him, worship him, glorify him as the one who is bringing solutions. That's what's happening. People are already being brainwashed to an extent which 2 years ago nobody would have thought possible. When United States Supreme Court judges echo the propaganda which is being perpetrated by the liberal mass media and other politicians. That's where we are, brethren, and I believe it's getting worse and worse and worse, and we haven't seen anything yet when it comes to the development in 2022 and beyond.